Would you open to the Old Testament minor prophet Haggai? We had a longer study in adult ed. Just the verses 2 through 8 from chapter 1. Encourage you to read this during the week. It's a quick read, but boy, it's interesting. Starting with verse 2, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains, bring down timber, build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thanks for today. Thanks for your movement in our lives in so many ways. We think of Shannon's testimony a couple weeks ago. We think of Greg's today. We think of you moving your people's hearts to pay this place off that you may be honored and the work may not only continue but expand. And we just thank you for that. And so, Lord, as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts this morning through the power of your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name, saying, amen. So this morning, I'd kind of like to give a kind of part two message to the one I offered a couple weeks ago, again, about this special, unique opportunity at this moment in the life of Mosaic Church. Again, that generous challenge is this. Every dollar you give will be matched by an outside gift. Every buck that you give goes towards the elimination of that debt. You give a buck, they give a buck. That's how it works. Your dollar becomes $2. Now, you know me. You know me well enough to know that I rarely talk about finances. I never want to be that guy who's, what did the pastor talk about? Well, he just wants our money. No, we want it for ministry purposes for the future of this church, and it's happening. So thank you so much for that. So we have had tremendous stories in the last nine and a half years of this church's existence. God gave us the gift of this building. I say 6.5 years ago, but it's really like 6 years and 3 months. That's it. In 2019, December 2019, we signed the mortgage papers. We got this building for the ridiculously now low price of $339,000. Today, this building is worth well over $1 million. That's God's work. I can't take credit for that. We can't. I mean, Greg was right when he said there are tons of stories. We're just sharing a few, right? So that means we have just a little over 10% left on that 38,000. And as of today, now it's way down. So thank you. This is awesome, right? When we bought this building, and I, also shared it two weeks ago as well, I shared a word from Esther 4, and that word was this: for such a time as this, for such a time as this, we can destroy the building mortgage. I said a couple weeks ago, we can begin to fill the barn, stack ammo, or whatever your preferred metaphor for the future. All of them work here in the Bitterroot. Means something else where I'm from, but anyway, that'll work too, I guess. This will not only give us the financial wiggle room that we really need, this will frame and fuel future vision and practical ministry projects into the days and years ahead. And why is that important? Because as many of you know, Mosaic Church was born out of immense suffering and pain. And those of you who have been here since the beginning, you could say the founding members, as they would say in some churches. When we started this church, we said we were going to be a different kind of church. We wanted to be a church for people who had no church. That we would radically love what Jesus calls the least of these, and that hypocrites and sinners would be our specialty. Not everybody likes that, strangely enough, and they kind of come and are like, oh, that's kind of weird, and they leave, and I'm down with that. That's okay, right? But for whom incorrigible and judgmental Pharisees and the religious tight shorts would find no quarter here. That's the cool thing. If you're really judgmental and uptight and all that and stuff like that, you're not going to last here, and I love it. I love it, right? We have stayed true to that vision for nearly 9.5 years, and we have no intention of ever changing it. Amen? Yeah, we're not changing it. Now, this year has been a year of transition, we said. Transitions are exciting. They can be sometimes hard or uncertain. We have prayed for God's wisdom. That's what we've been doing in 2026. And I now believe that now is the time to destroy this building mortgage for such a time as this. So over the last couple weeks, I've been talking to Mosaic people. What I've really appreciated is that you have been so eager in your enthusiasm and support. I haven't heard a negative word. I'm not sure how this could be a negative word, but you know, there are Christians out there that will find a negative word, you know. I call them Eeyore Christians, you know. It's like, man, God's doing good stuff. Well, it's probably gonna rain somewhere. It's just like, dude, come on. Thankfully, we don't really have that here. I'm grateful for that. But people have been excited. And you know, I didn't expect this, but God has taken me to the Old Testament minor prophet Haggai for the last couple weeks. I've been thinking and praying about this. Couple quick questions, right? When was the last time you read through and prayed through this little Old Testament book? And I think I asked earlier, how many of you even knew that this book existed? It's kind of easy to miss in the Old Testament, right? So that's what I want to speak about a little bit today, chapter 1 particularly. God repeats this sentence 5 times in this little book, and this is great for us as people of faith. Give careful thought to your ways, right? And I think that theme really continues on in our last week's Memorial Day service, which was special. Greg had the table out, and we focused on those who have given the ultimate price of their lives for our freedom. Give careful thought to your ways. I mean, that's a time to remember and never forget, but that's part of this whole idea. Now, rarely in the Bible can we pinpoint the exact day, place, and time when God spoke a specific command or word to his people, but that's exactly what Haggai does. So I kind of did some math here, and it was actually, if you translate it into the Western calendar, on August 29th, 520 BC, until December 18th, 520 BC, God spoke his word through Haggai to his beleaguered people in the capital city of Judea, Jerusalem. Yeah, I'm a nerd, so for what it's worth. I mean, it's very specific there. God's people had been previously taken away, exiled from the land due to their constant sin and disobedience to the Lord. And they were hauled off to Babylon. They stayed there for 70 years, but under the Persian king Cyrus and Darius, God's people, the Jews, were allowed to return to their ancient homeland and start anew. It was not an easy go for God's people, but that's how it works in life, right? The things that are worth doing in life never are they, right? It takes work. It takes faith and prayer. Here's the situation God's people were in this little book. The economy was in the toilet, local enemies were eager to harass, and large landowners took advantage of their own people. Sound familiar? Right? This was the context. And through various prophets, God called his people to do specific things, to get busy, to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple here, the house of God, and to start treating their fellow Jews like family, the family that they were, not objects to be financially exploited. Right? And so when God's word came to the prophet Haggai, people were living rather selfishly with a dog-eat-dog mentality. God's word says, verses 2 and 4, with your Bibles open, "These people say the time has not yet come to build the Lord's house. But is this a time for you to be living in paneled houses while the house of the Lord remains a ruin?" I looked at the original Hebrew this week, and it's picturesquely poignant. Here's what it literally says. I find this is helpful. "Is this the time for you yourselves to be living in houses with roofs while my house lies in waste?" Basically, what God was saying is like, look, all of you are now kind of safe and sound. You have your own roof, but God's house not only didn't have a roof, it remained a big pile of rubble. And so God's word through Haggai to his ever disobedient people, verse 5, "Give careful thought to your ways." What is he saying? He's saying, where are your priorities in life? Or as Jesus said in Matthew 6, where a person's treasure is, there their heart will be also, right? give careful thought to your ways. Now, obviously, Mosaic Church is hardly in ruins like the Jewish temple had been in Haggai's time. Obviously, we have a roof, a flat roof, a pretty, you know, to quote the president, a very good roof, a most excellent roof, I think. That's not really my point this morning, but rather giving careful thought to our ways. The famous Greek philosopher Socrates said it a little differently. He said, the unexamined life isn't worth living. So give careful thought to your ways. God at that time said, go up into the mountains, bring down the timber, build my house so that what? I may take pleasure in it and be honored. You see, as Christians, we are stewards of God. We don't really own anything ourselves, right? That's why radical giving is one of our church mottos. Christians were never designed for radical accumulation. Never. Show it to me in scriptures. Radical hoarding. I mean, it's almost gross saying. They have those old shows, Hoarders. They're frightening, aren't they? I know Joe's dad owns storage units, and he's got stories that are scary, right? Have you noticed the number of storage units here in the valley in the last 5 years has skyrocketed? Boy, people don't want to let go of their stuff, do they? And most of it's probably not worth the monthly fee. That's the funny part. But give careful thought to your ways, says God to us through Haggai, right? We are stewards. We are called to radical loving, giving, and forgiving. You know, the old Egyptian pharaohs of old, they tried to take it with them. And now we get to dig it up, and they just opened the brand new multi-billion-dollar state-of-the-art Egyptian museum. Showing off all that stuff. I guess it didn't go with them. I'm just saying, right? But I'll tell you where my son and I are going in October. We decided we're going to see that museum and the pyramids because we can, right? So the followers of Jesus, we know we can't take any of it with us when we die, but like most things, there's often an exception to the rule because as some Christians have poignantly said over the ages, and I think you should ponder this, it's got me thinking, the only thing you can take to heaven with you is that which you have given away. How about that? Think about that for a month. The only thing you can take with you is that which you gave away. Did you know that Jesus talked more about money and resources than he ever did on the subject of hell? Have you thought about that? Obviously, money and resources are very spiritual things. God requires us to properly care for and steward whatever he gives us. Why? Verse 9, so that he might take pleasure in our obedience and he might be honored, right? In Haggai, that meant climbing up mountains and dragging down timber. Here's a question for each one of us today. What are the mountains in your life that keep you from giving pleasure and honor to the Lord, right? That could look different for different ones, probably. Question, what's holding you back spiritually in your life? Also in this area of giving and spreading around resources for the building of the kingdom of God here in the Bitterroot Valley, right? And I'm going to do something I don't think I've ever done. I'm going to quote the Old Testament minor prophet of Malachi, two books after Haggai. I don't know how it could be any clearer than this. Malachi 3, will a mere mortal man or woman rob God? But you ask, how are we robbing God? In tithes and offerings. Oh, you didn't know this was a tithe sermon, did you? I didn't either. It's not really what it's about. In my mind, give careful thought to your ways in general. And this includes that already, right? Bring the whole tithe into God's storehouse. A tithe, that's a Middle English word for a tenth. Did you know? I mean, that was always the standard in the Old Testament for God's people, right? Does the Lord deserve 10% of what he's already given you anyway? You can do so much good, not just here, but there's so many needs around us in our community. Benevolence, we have a healthy benevolence fund. I love that. We can do so much good in Jesus' name. Once again, I want you to know, I do not ever want to know who gives what here at Mosaic Church. I don't know. I really don't. I don't count the money. I ask Sarah once in a while, we doing okay? We're doing okay? Okay. That's about it. I don't want to know. But let me say, in a rather uncharacteristic way for me, that if you do not give to the work of God and the kingdom building efforts here in this place, and this is your home, why? Why not? Right? Could God's word be any clearer on the subject? Have you noticed that in the Bible, if you rob God, as if you could really do that, he will not pour down the storehouses of heaven's blessings on you, right? Why? Because you're in sin and you're rebelling against God's clear command. How many of you, do you remember the Promise Keepers in the 90s? I know Wayne was part of that movement. We had, I've shared this before, I was in Chicago pastoring and teaching, and in Soldier Field, Bears Stadium, we had a Promise Keepers rally. We had like 70,000 guys singing hymns. That was awesome. We had great speakers, but the last speaker was a guy who wasn't really a famous guy, but I never forgot what he said. He said, the last thing to be made holy in your life or sanctified is your wallet or your checkbook. Do people still use checks? My kids laugh at me about that. What's that, Dad? It's a check. Why? Or you may do it online. What does that look like for you? That's a stewardship. That is a discipleship issue, isn't it? Right? God's made this very clear. It is not about how much you are able or not able to give. This is not a comparison game. In God's eyes, this is an issue of being faithful, right? I said, I think earlier, it's like, I hope everybody can be a part of this moment in the life of the church. You're like, I don't got a lot of money, Jim. Okay, can you give $5? Because if you give $5, it'll become $10. That's something, right? Let's all be a part. We all know Jesus' teaching on the widow's mite, right? Right, the little widow putting her pennies in there, and God said she gave more than the rest because she gave out of her need. And I know she wouldn't mind me saying this, but I really appreciated Shannon's testimony a couple weeks ago. She said this. In addition to sharing from her heart, she pointed out that she had raided her change jar. We've all been at a point in life where we had to raid the change jar. You know, when I was in high school, that was gas for the car. Right? It's like, I don't know how much I got here, you know? We've all done that at some point, and she said she put those coins in a Ziploc baggie and dropped it in the offering. And I thought, that's awesome. Why is that spiritually precious? Because it's done in faithfulness to God, and the Lord receives pleasure and honor in that. You see that? Everybody can be involved in some way like this. You know what? When we started, or as Greg rightly said, when God started this church 9.5 years ago, countless naysayers had all kinds of discouraging words. I mean, we had Eeyores up and down this town. Some of you remember this. Here's some things I heard. You can never plant a church in downtown Hamilton. It's been attempted and it has failed. Well, thanks so much. Others said, Jim, you have bitten off more than you can chew. While others actually said this, you may start this work, but you'll never complete it. And never complete it, you know? Doesn't that sound like the whispering and scattering and accusation of the devil? You know, that's what devil means in Hebrew. It means scatterer. You know what Satan means in Hebrew? Accuser. You'll never be good enough. You can't do this. You know those voices in your head. You know, and what I would do is, because I'm a child, I used to reply in a very lame English accent, and I would quote Shakespeare. It would infuriate people. It was hilarious, right? 'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. And I would say it like that, totally lame, and they would get mad. They just get really angry. You know, have you noticed when the Spirit of God is in you, have you ever noticed your spirit will irritate the demons of other people? This is really confusing, by the way. You're walking with the Lord and you're sharing whatever and you're excited and people are just mad, you know, at you. Sometimes what God is doing in your life convicts other people and they don't like it. Have you noticed this? You're not even trying. You're not being judgmental. You're not like, you're a dirty sinner. You're going to burn in hell for eternity and yay, I hate you, which is horrible and not Christian, but some seem to do that. Right? Have you ever met a preacher who loves to preach on hell? They're all going to burn. You know, it's just like, dude, shut up. You know, talk about Jesus. God, Lord. You know, anyway, I don't know where I'm at here. Anyway, I used to get a childish kick out of doing that kind of stuff. People get mad. The Spirit of God in you will irritate other people's demons is the point. It's very confusing, but if you pray through it, you're like, oh, that's it. It's not really about me. It's the Spirit of God in me that they just don't want anything to do with at this point in their life. Now, here's another childish kick I get. Whenever I see people on the street stop to look and talk about Mosaic's window displays over the last 9.5 years, you know, getting this building, you know, I grew up in Detroit and they would always have the big window dressings. You know, remember those back in the day? People stopped like, oh, wow, you know, it's like, you know, lusting for stuff they don't need. You know, it's all in different forms back then and today. But what I noticed is thanks to Carol and now Holly, who's serving for Deb today. Yeah, thank you. Have you seen the number of people that stop and look at the window dressings? It's awesome. It is a witness. Do you know what? I think what a powerful testimony. I believe this gives God pleasure and honor. People stop and they talk about it. Sometimes I'll slip out or whatever, and they'll stop me and ask me about the church. And I know it's happened to you, many of you as well. It's an opportunity, right? Just look what God has done in and with Mosaic Church because of this spiritual family. It's a testimony. It's a declaration of God's presence and authority in downtown Hamilton. They said, you can never get it done. It's like, we're doing it. We're going on 10 years. Thank you very much. And because of your faithfulness, I said before, it's like, you know, in our big fall kickoff, beginning of September, that's always a hoot. But I said, you know, let's have a mortgage burning party. And I'm like, I think we're going to do it now, right? Because of your faithfulness and God's faithfulness, and we didn't listen to the Eeyores and all that kind of stuff, right? Have you noticed, I think this is interesting, we are the only church properly in downtown Hamilton. Now, we got our friends at AG down the street and some other churches around, but like we are smack dab downtown here. While there are two New Age tarot and crystal shops in town, one right across the street and one right down here, it's like, how many crystals can a person buy? I don't know how that works, but anyway, we're the only church, and I think we're here for a good reason, right? People and the devil has tried to shut us down. We got tons of stories. Did you know, I think I've shared this, remember during the COVID pandemic, we had people who demanded that Hamilton Police Department chain our door because we had the audacity to keep it open. Now, people can come and go. Some came with masks. Some just watched online. That's when we started the whole live stream thing. We've got no rules, you know, outside of the Bible. So if you want to come, you want to spread out, you want to stay home and watch, that's fine. But, you know, the unbelievers were so dogmatic about everything. Is it just me? They came over and they demanded that the door be chained, and thankfully the Hamilton police say, we don't chain doors in this town. You know, it's their building. What a crazy thought. My favorite, and I'll wrap up. My favorite was, I was standing right here talking to some folk, and I saw, you know, sometimes you get a vibe. It's like, ooh, there's a disturbance in the force. And I was like, phew. And I could feel it from across the street, yes. And this woman bursts out of the door of the Bitterroot Pharmacy. I think it was a pharmacist. She bursts out, and I'm like, oh, she's coming for us. She's coming for us. I can feel it. And sure enough, she burst through that door in a rage and got in my face and said, what are you doing? You're being irresponsible. You should know better. This church, you should not be operating. And I being a child, I said, madam, please observe 6 feet of safety space. And I saw the capillaries in her eyes almost explode, and she ran out the door, and I was like, and we just kept going, you know? People have tried to thwart this work, and we've just said, nah, it's not happened. So anyway, Haggai's message to us, give careful thought to your ways. You know, gosh, in destroying the church mortgage, for a couple reasons. One, Esther 4, for such a time as this, so that Mosaic can make its calling and election sure beyond our own lifetimes. We're not here just for ourselves. We're here for these kids, right? And that next generation, we're thinking way ahead, beyond us. If we don't pass on the faith, what have we done? right? Are we just amusing ourselves to death? Isn't that an F. Scott Peck book or something? Just ridiculous. No, for such a time as this, so we can make the calling and election sure, securing the future for the next generation. So here's your watchwords for today as we close. Give careful thought to your ways for such a time as this. Amen? Let's pray. All right. Father in heaven, thanks for today. Thanks for the rain. Thank you for your provision in so many ways. Thanks for the faithfulness of your people and your faithfulness over all time and space. Lord, we just thank you for each one that's here. We want to thank you for our Christian ministry workers upstairs, Lexi and Miss Holly as well, and just leaning into the next generation that excites us so much. So Lord, as we go forth from this place, we thank you for your blessings. We praise you and thank you all this and more in Jesus' name saying, amen.